Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is a good morning of worship. I heard your voices. It's good. Just be praying for Jamie as he gets to speak on what God's been doing with New Life at Sunnycrest. So just keep him in your prayers. I always love this time of the year that when we get to fast. I love to get to fast. And not a whole lot of people say that because a whole lot of people love food. But I love to get to fast because I get to see what God is going to do. How faithful God is. I want to share a story with you. I don't know if I'm supposed to share this story, but I'm going to anyways. Friday, Jimmy got a call. You remember we did this big goal, $77,000 by the end of 2020. We fell a little bit short. It's all right. We still got $72,000, somewhere around there. That's still good. That's still awesome. That's great. God still provided. But listen to me. God showed how faithful he was on Friday. A bank called. Jimmy answered the phone, said, "We got a check for you. We were supposed to give it to you back in December, but we just couldn't because of COVID and all this other stuff." So they came, and after they left, we opened up the check, and guess what? How much that check was? $5,000. $5,000. Listen to me. God is faithful. God is faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can't even express to you how grateful I am to God. And I hope you can say the same thing. God is showed us beyond the grace that we deserve. Beyond it. He continues to be merciful. Even when we don't deserve it, he continues to give it. He's a God of compassion. Listen to me, church. He is the God of compassion and grace and love and mercy and justice and righteousness. That is the God we serve. I pray that you can say, "I'm a servant of the God Most High." God Most High, I am a servant, and you don't be ashamed to say that, church. Don't be ashamed to say that, because we see how faithful God is, how faithful he is. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 22. Many of us know this story, but I want to read something just to kind of show us who God is, just for a moment. I'm going to read Psalms 116. Listen closely. "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me, and in the anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unworthy. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, 'I am greatly afflicted.' In my alarm, I said, 'Everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me?' I will lift up the cup of salvation and the call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord, church, for the Lord has saved me. The Lord has saved you if you have Jesus Christ. There is no greater thing you can possibly praise God for than your salvation. Your salvation in Jesus Christ. You can't thank him enough, church. You can't thank him enough for what he's done for you. You just can't do it. But he deserves every praise we can possibly give him in this church. He's been too good to this church. He's been too good. Too good. Too good. Amen. Can I tell you, God's going to test us? We're fasting for some big things. We're fasting for some pretty big things. These are the moments of testing, church. Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to remain faithful? See, when God tests us, it can be extremely difficult to pass it. It can be extremely difficult, and many believers struggle passing their test of faith. Passing the test of faith. We struggle to hear God's voice. Have you ever experienced that, church? You just kind of, you don't know where God's voice is. You can't hear it. It's too silent. There's too much things going on in the world. You just, it's not loud enough. You just can't hear God's voice. You struggle with it. And you struggle, listen to me, church, you struggle to go when He says to go. When God says move, you struggle to move. I've been there. It feels like I just don't have any oil in my joints. I just can't go. I'm too afraid. I can't do it. Listen to me. You can't do it. You can't do it without Jesus. You can't go without Jesus. See, we're going to read a story about Abraham's test of faith. Many people know this. Many people's heard this ultimate, this huge test of faith. I want to give you a little bit of context before we start reading. God promised Abraham that He was going to bless the nations through him. That He was going to bless him and bless his descendants as many as the sands on the seashore, as many as the stars in the heaven. So many was going to come from Abraham. And listen to me, Abraham and Sarah didn't think it was going to happen. They laughed at the thought that they were going to have a child at their old age. But listen, God is faithful. God provides. He gave them a baby. He gave them little baby Isaac. They didn't think it was going to happen, and it shouldn't have happened. Listen, God does the impossible. He gave them a baby, and that baby was the promise. They promised them the baby, and He provided. God provided. He continues to provide. Let's get here into the message. Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." This was Abraham's ultimate test. This was going to show whether he was faithful to God above all else, willing to sacrifice all else to serve God the Most High. This is not an easy test. Listen to me, church. This would not be an easy test for me. This would not be an easy test for a lot of people. Listen, God, when He tests us, it's to strengthen us. It's to mature us. It's to draw us closer to Him. When God brings you through times of testing, it's to draw you closer to the Father. And there is no better place to be than close to the Father. It might hurt, it might be hard, but listen, it is better for you to remain faithful in times of testing. To consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy because it produces in you perseverance. So that we as a church can continue to move on and on and on with whatever impossible thing God has for us. We've got to remain faithful. Listen, our times of testing might all look different. We aren't all going to go through the same test. It's going to look different. And nowhere here do I see that Abraham knew that he was being tested. God didn't say, "Abraham, I'm going to bring you through a test. I want you to make it through. Here's what you got to do." No, he didn't know he was going through a test. All God said is, "Here is what I want you to do." And to go. And Abraham, this is the point of the message. I want you to hear this three-word phrase. "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." We need to be "here I am" Christians. When we hear the voice of God, when God's voice calls out to us, we have to say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." And they go immediately. Verse 3. Early next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, saw the place in a distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go. Well, I and the boy go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two went on together. They went immediately. Many Christians aren't going to be able to say that. When God calls, He calls us to go immediately. When God says, new life, we ought to say, here I am. No matter what God calls you to, you ought to say, here I am. Listen to me, this was not an easy journey. This wasn't the mountain down the street. This wasn't the mountain that was just right in the backyard. This mountain was 50 to 60 miles away. This wasn't just some walk in the park. See, most of us, I thought this was kind of funny, most of us find it hard when we don't find a parking spot close to the grocery store. We struggle. We will circle the parking lot longer than when we'll be in the store just to find the parking spot closest to the grocery store. But here, there, he was willing to walk 60 miles just with a donkey, his son, some servants. 60 miles. Many of us have never said they've walked 60 miles. I don't think I've ever walked 60 miles. But Abraham's willing to do it because he says, here I am. They went immediately. See, this wasn't a flat ground. They didn't have no excavator or whatever it is. They didn't have anything to help them. They had to walk it. There was mountains, there was hills, ups and downs. This is what testing does to us. It makes us exhausted. It makes us tired. It makes us where we have to rely on the Father. When we go through times of testing, we have to rely on the Father. You're not going to make it through times of testing if you're not relying on Jesus Christ. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be too hard for you. You've got to rely on the strength of Jesus Christ. See, they went immediately. I pray that we can do it immediately. When God calls you to share the gospel with somebody this year, because I can just about bet He's going to do it, you better do it immediately. Because you just might miss your opportunity. You just might miss it to share the best name, the blessed name of Jesus Christ to somebody. The greatest name. The greatest name. Let's move on. Verse 7. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac's asking some questions. He's asking some questions now. Where's the lamb? Where's the ram? Where's the thing we're going to sacrifice? What's Abraham say here? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. I wish we knew what Isaac here was thinking. I wish we knew just a little bit more of what Isaac here was thinking. But we know here what Abraham is thinking. He says, God will provide. I want to read something from Hebrews chapter 11 that I believe sheds a little bit more light on this situation. Verse 19 says, Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the death. Back from death. See, Abraham knew, before he even knew about the resurrection, that God could raise life. So I'm going to tell you my personal opinion here. You can take it as a grain of salt. That's okay with me. That's okay with me. I believe that either Abraham knew that God was going to stop him, or that he knew that God could raise Isaac back from the dead. Because God can do that. God can raise men and women back from the dead. See, we are promised the same thing, church, that we too will be raised from the dead. Raised from the grave, because we have conquered the grave through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God in heaven that we too will be resurrected. See here, I believe that he must have known that. Because we know that Abraham knew that God could do it. God could raise him from the dead. And we know that he'd already been promised. He's already been promised. And listen to me, God keeps his promises. He was already promised that through Isaac, the nations was going to be blessed. God wasn't going to go back on his promise. Somehow, some way, Isaac was going to still be with him. Isaac was still going to be with him. A lot of times this is what trips people up right here. This is what trips people up in this passage. But I believe Hebrews shed a lot of light here that God can raise the dead. Amen. The nations are going to be blessed no matter what. No matter what. Verse 9. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. When he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, here I am," he replied. "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Not withheld, your only son. Listen to me, this had to be a huge relief for Abraham. Can you imagine? Just imagine it for a moment. He's ready to do it. He's got the knife. He's ready to do what God had called him to do. But then he hears the loud voice from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." And he, listen to me, he was a "here I am" believer. A "here I am." He was listening for God's voice. Are we listening for God's voice, church? We're going to have to listen for God's voice, because sometimes it's not some big loud voice in the clouds. Sometimes it's that small voice in your spirit saying, "Don't do it. Don't do it. Or go here or go there." We've got to be listening for God's voice in every circumstance, even when it's as chaotic as what's going on right here. Even when the world gets crazy, it's getting pretty crazy. We've got to be listening for God's voice because He calls us. He calls each and every one of you to go, and to go immediately, and to be able to say, "I'm right here. Here I am." See, Abraham is not the only one to say, "Here I am." Jacob said it. He said, "Here I am, Lord." Moses said it. When God comes to him to a burning bush, he says, "Moses, Moses." What does Moses say? "Here I am." Samuel says it 3 different times. He says, "Here I am." Isaiah says it. When God says, "Whom shall I send?" He says, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And there's one moment in the New Testament. It's Ananias in a vision. And God's telling him to go heal Saul. And he says, "Ananias, Ananias." And Ananias says, "Here I am." These were believers ready to move for God, ready to go. Are we ready to go, church? Are we ready to go in this chaotic world and share the gospel? The greatest thing in all creation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come on, church. You've got to be ready to say, "Here I am." Wow. This had to be a huge relief. A huge relief. This showed Abraham that God is the provider. Verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Listen to me. This means a lot. This means a lot. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. See, Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his one and only son. His one and only son. But listen to me. This means a whole lot to me. God led his one and only son up the mountain. God led his one and only son up the hill of Calvary to be sacrificed for you and I. To be sacrificed for you and I. God made the journey. God made the journey up the mountain so that we have victory over the grave, church. So that we have a place in heaven. A place in heaven to call home. This is where our home is. He led his only son. His only Son up the mountain to die for you and I, to shed His blood on the cross so that we have the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, a thing that we couldn't do ourselves. God had to take His Son up the mountain. God had to tie His Son up on the cross, nail His hands to it, and sacrifice Him to atone for our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions. Because why? Because He loved us. He loved us. He led His Son up the mountain. I can't get enough of that. The hill of Calvary. The hill of Calvary. We've got to be here I am believers. We've got to be ready to hear God's voice. Listen, it's going to be scary. These were not easy tasks. When God brought these people through times of testing, they weren't easy tasks. But God gives strength to the believer. God gives strength to the Christian who says, "Here I am." Listen to me. If you want to hear God's voice, there's one main thing you've got to do. You've got to be saved. You've got to have Jesus Christ to make intercession so that you can talk to the Father. You've got to have Jesus Christ personally in your life. Not just know who He is. You've got to know Him in your heart. You've got to repent of your sins because He has died for us, forgiven us, and He asks for you to receive the gift of salvation. You've got to have Jesus Christ. That is number one. You're not going to get very far without Jesus. You've got to have Him in your life. And if you want to hear the voice of God, we have it right here at our fingertips. It's the Word of God. Don't take advantage of the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God in your life. And we've said it many times. You can't just read it. You've got to apply it in your life. You've got to let the Word of God speak into your life and be ready to apply it, ready to experience the Scriptures. There is no greater thing than you can do than let the Scriptures speak into your life. Let God worry for you. Let God take away all your fears, all your anxieties, all your stresses, all the things that go on in the world. Let Him have it. He says He'll take it. Let Him have it, church, so that we will be ready to say, "Here I am." Don't forget to talk to the Father. If you want to know what you need to do in your life, if you want to know the purpose in your life, you better be talking with God. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that gives it. See, so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." The Lord will provide. That's what this place is called. Why? Because the Lord provides. The Lord provided. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Listen to me, church. God keeps His promises. God blessed the nations through Abraham as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. The descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. All this stuff came to pass. All this stuff that God promised them, it came to pass because He keeps His promises. See, the words, "Here I am," what does that mean? It means obedience. It means obedience, and we ought to be obedient children. Obedience is not easy. Most people don't even like to hear the word obedience, because normally obedience will be contrary to our sinful flesh. It will go completely against our sin nature. This is why we need Jesus Christ in our lives. And see, when we are obedient, church, when we are obedient as a church, God will bless us. when we are obedient in the fast, when we as a church fast together, we are blessed because of it. God's not blessed because of it. God blesses us. God blesses us when we are faithful. And He has done it. If we look back at all the things God has done with this church, all we should be able to say is God is faithful. Because we were not able to do one thing. One thing. We weren't able to do the meal ministry. We weren't able to do the women's life house. We weren't able to do the women and children's house. We're definitely not going to be able to do the men's life house or the orphanage or all the other things God calls us to do without Him. We're not big enough. We would never be big enough, even if we had 500 people. We're not big enough to do it without Him. We're just not. We have to have Him in this church, and we have to continue to preach the name of Jesus Christ in this church. It has to be preached here. It has to be, because He is the light of the world. In Huntington, the community of Huntington, listen to me, needs Jesus Christ. You've got to be ready to share Jesus Christ. This is our test, church. Our test in whether we're going to be faithful in sharing the gospel this year. Whether we're going to be faithful in sharing the gospel so that we can see 21 baptisms. God's going to do His part. God always does His part. Are we willing to do our part? Are we willing to say, "Here I am"? Phil Fisher, I hope you're able to say, "Here I am." Barb, I hope you can say, "Here I am, God. Here I am." We've got to be able to say it. I'll keep saying it. I'll say it until 1 o'clock. Here I am. So I want to ask you this question. I want to ask you this question this morning. I want you to take it to heart. I want you to examine your life. Are you able to pass the test? Are you able to pass the test, the test that God has? You're going to be tired. This test is going to make you tired. This test is going to make you feel like you're not educated enough. You're not able to do it. This test is not going to be easy. So how do we do it? How do we be faithful during the test? We've got to pray together. Church, we ought to rejoice with each other and we ought to mourn with each other. We've got to be undivided. Together, 100%. No division among us. And how can we do that? Because I can tell you, there's 50 people in here and they probably all have 50 different opinions. How do we stay undivided? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that can bind us. Why? Because we share the same Spirit of Jesus Christ in us. The Holy Spirit, we have the one thing that can bind us together, make us one body going in one direction, and that's Jesus Christ. We're one body, church. We ought to move as one body. Listen to me. There is no greater blessing to be the hands and feet of God. God calls us to be His hands. God calls us to be His feet. And listen to me, church. God's hands and God's feet are not immobile. They move. They go. They work. They work. And they work. And we're going to get tired and weary, but we've got to remember what Jesus Christ has said. All who are weary, come unto me. All who are weary, come unto me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest, because the yoke, it's not easy. It's not light. But Jesus Christ is. His yoke, His burden is light. And He promises us to give us rest. And He says, if you cast all your cares on Him, you cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for us. He loves you. He wants you to succeed. See, when God brings us through times of testing, when God tests us, He does not want you to fail. God doesn't test you to be like, yep, this is going to get him. He's not going to be able to do it. God doesn't test us like that. That's the job of the devil. That's the job of the devil to watch you fail. See, God doesn't want you to fail. God wants this church to share the gospel. He wants this church to succeed. He wants the people of Huntington to know the blessed name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God the Father in heaven. And I pray that in your spirit, if you hear His voice, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts. Let them come in. It's not going to feel very good sometimes. It's going to feel like the fire is on you. But when God brings the fire on us, when God brings the fire on us, it refines us. It purifies us. It makes us holy. And we ought to be holy. We're not going to be perfect people. We know that. But we are perfect through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we allow the Lord to work in our life, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our life, to work it, to help us get through habits and addictions and all the things that happen in a fallen, sinful world, listen to me, we are blessed. We're blessed when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. See, many believers, they'll say, I'll do this, I'll do that, but if God calls me to this or that, I'll never do that. It's too hard. It's too hard to go to Africa and share the gospel. It's too hard. It's too hard to go down the street and talk to my neighbor. He doesn't believe the same thing I believe. Listen to me, church. It is hard. But it is the greatest blessing we have. I have said it before. There is no greater peace. There is no greater peace that God can give us. There is no greater peace that we can get in the world than what God has given us. We've got peace. We need not to be afraid to share the gospel. I want to see 21 baptisms in this church. I want to see the men's house opened. I want to see this church thrive, not because of any name that we have, but because Jesus Christ resides right here. And people will say, where will you find God at? Where is God at? And they can say, it's at New Life Fellowship. He's at New Life Fellowship because they're ready to say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm right here. Send me. Are we willing to go out into the mission field? The mission field's not always in Africa or Europe or China. It's there. Trust me. It's there. But it is right in our backyards. In our backyards. That's where the mission field is. It can be hard to share the gospel in your home. It can be hard to share the gospel here. Jesus Himself has said it's hard to share the gospel in your hometown. But we should ought to share the gospel. We've got to share the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ought to be faithful, obedient children. Faithful and obedient, and we ought to be able to go where He leads. He doesn't lead us astray. He doesn't lead us down the path of destruction. He leads us where we need to go because God's providence, God's hand works in everything. I thought we came up short in our goal. I thought we came up short, but God says, I will provide. I will provide. You won't be able to do it. You're not going to be able to get to the 77,000, but He says, I will provide. And listen to me, we're not going to be able to get to the 21 baptisms if we do it by ourselves. You can't do it because God will provide. Because there is no better place to be than a faithful, obedient child of God. Our faithful Father in heaven. Our faithful Father in heaven. Listen, I want to open this up to you this morning. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that is a bad place to be. Listen to me very closely for just a minute. Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He has shed His blood, and He offers the gift of salvation to you and I. All you got to do is take it. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart. Ask Him to come in. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner and I need you. I need Jesus Christ. I need you to come in my life. We don't deserve it, church. I don't understand for one second why God would ever use us. Why God would ask us to go anywhere. We're not able to do it. We fall up short. We sin. We mess up. We let pride come into our lives. Why would he ask us to do it? To show the power and authority of God. Because his power, his strength, his might is made known where? In our weaknesses. In our weaknesses, God is glorified. Then there is nothing else. We can't glorify ourselves because we are weak, but he is strong. We are weak, but he is strong. Let's stand, church.